Now, all these letters with my replies are down at the University of Oregon Library in Eugene, which keeps all my old junk and correspondence and manuscripts and stuff like that. And I went down there a few weeks ago to dig up some material for this talk. I was thinking, well, I was hoping, I went through some non-Oz fan letter files too, because I was hoping to get some funny quotes to amuse you, and or some of the astonishing ones that I remember over the years. The reason I'm stumbling here is I'm trying to decide whether to steal something from another author, and I think I will. I can't resist it. A few weeks ago in Portland, Zilpha Keatley-Snyder, whose books you may or may not know, was a speaker at a thing where I was also speaking. And she was giving, she has a whole batch of quotes from fan letters that she reads at talks because they're just marvelous. And one of them, I've got to tell you, it's the best I ever heard in my life. But it's hers, not mine. I'm giving full credit. This young boy wrote her, and she said it was a wonderful letter, a very intelligent letter discussing her books, and he was a most responsive reader, and she loved the letter. But he began it rather self-consciously by saying, "You don't know me, and I don't know you or anything about you except what is revealed on your rear flaps." Well, of course, the audience in Portland all said, "Turn around!" I've never had anything quite that funny, but we have had some great ones, my husband and I both, and some extremely dear ones, and some very touching ones. And instead of finding funny quotes, though, I began to find trends. I discovered I was finding, you might call it, evidence of the sort of unexpected influence that writers have on readers, things they have no idea they're doing. One fact emerged very clearly. I've turned a lot of people on to the study of ancient Egypt because it's been almost an obsession of mine for 20 years. Until I finally wrote 3 books about it and went to Egypt. And apparently that got it off my mind so that I didn't just have to live there anymore mentally. But, for example, now, Gary Ralph, whom some of you may know, because he was in 1968, a member of this club. Now, he started his letter by saying that my book, Mara, Daughter of the Nile, carried him through a bout of flu, and that led him to my adult novel, Pharaoh, and then to another juvenile, The Golden Goblet. He added that I had made him an eager student of Egyptology, but that it was through the club that he heard about merry-go-round. Incidentally, in my reply, I asked him how old he was, and guessing that he must be around college age. In his second letter, he told me, I'd like to quote just a bit of that. "I am 13, that awkward between age when you are neither a child nor an adult. Your guess that I was college age was flattering. Oz books are for all ages, and especially your Oz book. Learning the terminology of the fox hunters of the world is harder than mastering a foreign language. Too often the political oracles of the day make sense after the election is over, after the bomb has been dropped, after the project has been shelved, and the 3 circlets of Halidom symbolize a 3-part formula for success. With strength, skill." Does that sound like a 13-year-old? However, the more Oz 13-year-olds I have come in contact, the more I feel that this sounds a good deal like an Ozzy 13-year-old. I find that they are a very superior type. Almost without exception, letters about Mara, daughter of the Nile, begin, "I read this book 5 times, or 8 times, or 18 times. One letter I came across said, I read it every 2 weeks." Really, that's true, I found it. One girl who first ran into Mara, Daughter of the Nile, when it first came out, when she was 13 herself, it must win the title of most faithful fan, because she has written me off and on at least once or twice a year ever since, She has frequently called me on my birthday, which I don't know how she found it out. And sometimes she calls me, just about 2 weeks ago, she called me just to talk to me. She hadn't made contact in a while. She said, I must have read Mara hundreds of times by now. She's 35, 36, I think, years old now. 33. And we've never met, but I feel I know her very well, and I'm sure she feels she knows me very well. I've thought a lot about this fanatic loyalty that this book, Mara, seems to engender in the 13-year-old female breast. It is really a phenomenon. It's true. I've tried to figure it out. I've marveled at it. I've tried to understand it for years because it is really a fanatic sort of loyalty. It's true that the book has an exotic setting. It's true that it has a lot of excitement in it and danger and all that. It's true that it has a bit of love in it, very mild and proper in this sort of the day and age we live in now. And a leading man who is evidently every 13-year-old's idea of utter glamour. I don't know how I managed that, but I've decided that the real grabber in the book is the character of Mara herself. She is a slave girl without power, influence, possessions, or anything else. And through sheer what-have-I-got-to-lose daring, she manages to play both sides against the middle in an intrigue that involves the throne of Egypt. She pays for it very painfully, and she even develops a conscience toward the end of the book, which she certainly didn't have when it started. But while she's wheeling and dealing, I think she is exactly what these 13-year-olds wish they were. They have no power or influence, and not all that many possessions, maybe. And they don't have Mara's nerve. So she does it for them. Early women's lib, I think that's the whole thing. And it's just what influence it's had on the characters of these little girls. I've never dared to ask. I don't know whether it turned them into little hellions or very difficult to manage or what, but maybe it just helped them through a bad spot. Anyway, it's interesting. One astonishing end result that I would like to share with you. One day, some years ago, I received this beautiful little book in the mail, and the author's name I didn't recognize at all. And here's her picture, and I didn't recognize her picture. And I thought, how lovely. Somebody knows I'm interested in Egypt and is sending me, and it's a scholarly monograph. This person apparently was a doctor of Oriental Institute. She went to the Oriental Institute of the University of Chicago. She received various degrees in Egyptology and was teaching at Berkeley in their department of that. Her name is Barbara Lesko. I didn't understand any of this until I saw this thing on it that said autographed copy, and I looked inside. And it says, to Mrs. McGraw, who through Mara, daughter of the Nile, first directed my eyes toward ancient Egypt. I just can't get over it. That's the most marvelous. Isn't that a wonderful gift? Just to know.